just so very thankful at the liberty. And like the song we sang earlier, He is here. You can touch Him. He's reaching out, wanting to grab a hold of someone's heart this morning. And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. Matthew 28. This morning, and in just a few moments, we're going to read two familiar verses. Or are they familiar verses? God began to work upon my heart earlier in the week, and He's allowed me to hear certain things as I have been in certain places that have pointed me to these two verses out of Matthew 28, verse number 19 and verse number 20, places even as of late. And I want to bow for prayer, and then we will introduce the message this morning and see how far we can go with it. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for those, Lord, who respond to the altar. How liberating it does a service, Lord, and how others would just, if they would just come and share their load with You, not later, but now, Lord, when the gospel is being preached and Your music is being sang, Lord, music with a message, that's the time to respond. And we're thankful for those things. But we do pray in the next few moments that You would use us to be a blessing. Help us keep it simple, be direct, Yo Lord, but yet have compassion. Guide our tongue, Lord. Help us not say anything that's not from You. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, we're going to read two verses out of Matthew 28, verse number 19 and 20. I do want to say that I had the opportunity to attend a leadership seminar a couple weeks ago. Never have been to one. But locally there was a leadership seminar and I was invited to go, and so I went, and it was on a Friday. And the seminar, it was very, very informative and enlightening. There was a lot of things that I learned and a lot of things that I'd like to put into play. A lot of principles were shared. In fact, it was a leadership seminar conference concerning leadership roles in secular jobs, on the job in the workplace, secularly speaking. And like I said, though, there were some principles that were shared there, and these principles can be applied to any leadership role, regardless. For example, the speaker that spoke that day, he spoke over several things, and it was 7 hours worth several things. And it's been a long time since I sat behind a desk for 7 hours in a classroom. And so I started to feel some of the things that Lily talks about being antsy and looking at the clock a lot. But anyway, it was really informative. He spoke about characteristics of a great leader. He spoke about productivity in the workplace. He spoke about knowing your team. He spoke about problem players. He spoke about counseling. He spoke about delegating versus training. That's a big one. Delegating versus training. He spoke about that in a secular place, but that can be applied in the church world too, because when you delegate a job, you don't give someone a job and turn them loose on it and never stay connected with them. But you give them a job and you stay in the loop with them. That's delegating. Training is training someone how to do a job. So you don't delegate a job unless the training is there first to do the job. And so we spoke about delegating versus training and counseling. He spoke about empowerment and all of these things. Again, 7 hours worth. And it was very interesting. I enjoyed it. In fact, I used wore out two Marriott hotel pads that they supplied. And all of that was great, but one subject really spoke to me, and in that moment I knew specifically that all of these other things he mentioned were irrelevant if this one thing wasn't realized and embraced. And the thing that he mentioned was the very first thing he said. And this is what he said. He said, okay, class, I want everyone on your piece of paper, with whatever job you have, whatever leadership role you're at, ask yourself one question, and then we're going to go around the room and you're going to give your answer, which I did not like that. He said, why are you doing what you're doing? Now, I was just blown away. He said, leader, wherever you're leading, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, and then I want you to go back to your people, wherever you're leading, whatever job you're at, and ask your people, why are they doing what they're doing? He then gave a story about a man that he was, the supervisor of. And the man worked at Burger King. And he noticed that every day that he would go in to work, the supervisor, the man had a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude. He could care less that he was there. I mean, his clothes, it looked like he just threw his clothes on and went to work. And he started problems at the job and all of these things. And so one day the supervisor called the man into his office and he said, can I ask you a question? He said, why are you here? And the man said, I'm here to draw a paycheck so I can, earn money. He said, well, can I make a consideration as to why you're here? And I want you to think about it. He said, think about this as to why you're here. You are here because you are providing a meal for a family that's very reasonable, that probably are struggling to make ends meet, that are looking for dinner, for supper, and they come here, and because of your hands and the meal you provided, they are able to buy an affordable meal, therefore use their money in other places that they would use on a more expensive meal, pay their bills, and then one day hopefully send their kids off to college. He said, man, I never thought about it that way. And the supervisor said that man's performance went up by 100% ever since. And he recognized really, underneath making the paycheck and underneath all the other reasons, the reason why he was doing what he was doing was to help people, to provide that affordable meal. This morning, I want to talk about that subject if I could. Why are we doing what we're doing? I mean, even here in the church scene, why do we come to church? Why are we here this morning? You see, sometimes, and listen, you know the reasons why, but we're going to get more in detail in just a moment, more specific about these reasons. But we know that if we come to church and we're not sure as to why we're here, or at least we have forgotten the real reason why we're here, then all of the rest will start to be in the negative light. Everything will start to be negative. Our worship for the Lord will go down as far as being genuine and real and passionate. And maybe our attendance will fall off if everything isn't right. And so the question is, why are we here? Guys, you can go ahead and take that one down. That's for tonight. Why are we here? And so this morning, if we get this subject nailed down as to why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing, and then we operate out of that, we are here to worship the Lord. We are here to minister. We are here to spread the gospel. We are here to do these things and operate out of that. Then I'm telling you,
things will dramatically change around here. Attitudes and listen, morale and passion, it will start to spread from pew to pew. And you won't be able to slow each other down for what you're doing because you know why you're doing what you're doing. I know that some of us have been here, or some have been here for many, many years, and you know why you're doing what you're doing. But even though you have been here for years and you know why you're doing what you're doing, sometimes you need to be refreshed in that area. And there's others that are new here, and it does all of us good to be refreshed in this one area as to why we're doing what we're doing. Amen. We're not coming here just to say that we've come to church and, you know, we feel better about ourselves. We're not coming here this morning to be seen or put on a fashion show. That's for sure. We're coming here this morning for some specific reasons. And I want to say, just like in that leadership conference, that leadership seminar, when he gave the illustration of that man at Burger King, it really, really spoke to me about some things. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you as well. And so number one, why do we do what we do? Why are we here? Number one, because of our mission. We do what we do because of our mission. Look in Matthew. You're here in Matthew 28. Notice in verse number 19. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. The mission. Everybody has to have a mission statement to operate from, to know what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. So here in these verses, we have laid out for us a mission statement from the Lord. And the mission is threefold. It's to evangelize. It's to baptize. And I like this third one. It's to discipleize. I came up with that word. It's going to be out in the Web Dictionary 2020. Discipleize. Evangelize. Baptize. Discipleize. Notice in verse 19 he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means to evangelize. It means to herald the good news. It means to spread the gospel, to tell people that Jesus saves and that Jesus has died for them. And so it means to evangelize. But then the Bible says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know what baptism is. Baptism is one of two of the ordinances of the Baptist church. And the reason for baptism is after they get evangelized and accept the gospel good news, they publicly make a statement to the whole world, to the church and the whole world and to others, that they have been made new. They've been born again. They have died to the old man, and now they are presenting the new man to the lost and dying world. When you go under the water, by immersion, you are placing yourself with Jesus as he was in the tomb, in the grave. It's funny how some people, some denominations, they talk about sprinkling, and they talk about, you know, being sprinkled with water and all. Well, when you bury somebody, you don't sprinkle a little bit of dirt on them, do you? No, you bury them. And so through baptism, water immersion, it is showing that that person has died to their old life, has died to sin, has died to self. Doesn't mean they can't sin in the future. It just means that they have somebody new living on the inside of them, giving them desires to be different and to live for Jesus. And so he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, preach the gospel, evangelize, tell everybody about the good news of Jesus. And then once they embrace that, they will go to be publicly baptized. I said it's one of two ordinances of the Baptist church, the New Testament church. And the other ordinance is communion. Lord willing, we're going to do that this month. But then he says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, this morning, this is our mission. Someone said, Brother Justin, what is your vision for Calvary? Here it is. My vision is the mission. I was reading some famous quotes last night. One man said that, he said, a vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. Think about that. Vision without action is a daydream. And then action without vision is a nightmare. And so my vision for Calvary Baptist Church is the mission that Jesus gave us. And it's a threefold mission. It's to go and preach the gospel. It's to baptize. And then it's to teach. Again, in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What is this? This is the disciplizing. This is when a person that gets saved and then follows through with believer's baptism is now being discipled. This is the mission of the local church, is to do these three things. And if I keep this in mind when I come to church every day, every time, every Sunday, every Wednesday, if you keep this in mind when you come and operate out of that mission, then we will be doing well. It's not like we're here to just take up space. We're not here to put on a fashion show. You know, we're not here to do these things. We're not here to get the latest news or be so just for socializing purposes. No. The real reason why we're here is all wrapped up in our mission. And our mission is to evangelize. It's to baptize and then disciple those who have believed. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Why are you here? Why do you do what you do? If you hold a position in this church, why do you do it? Is it just to pass the time? Is it just because of something you've always done? Or is it because you believe in the Great Commission? You want to be part of evangelizing the world. You want to be a part and an eyewitness of those getting baptized and then discipling them. You see, just like that man who was working at Burger King. Oh, I'm just flipping burgers and I can care less. You know, I'm just taking up time, just drawing a paycheck. There's church members like that in churches, you know. They just come to church and because that's what they've always done. They've always been a member of a certain church and they just come for the socializing. There's really no deep drive on the inside of them. They just come to socialize or glamorize. They come to gossip. They come just to attend, and maybe they're not even doing any of those things that start problems. They're just coming. But when you're just doing something just to do it, there is no igniter on the inside of that. There's nothing moving you. There's nothing pushing you. There is no passion there. That's why you have to ask yourself, even if you're here this morning and your secular job, ask yourself on your secular job, why are you working that job? Yes, for a paycheck, but what else? Maybe school or some different things going on in your life. Why am I doing what I'm doing? This morning I want to say that we do what we do because of the mission. We're here for a purpose. And we're here because the Lord has commissioned us to share the gospel, baptize, and then train them up. Number two, I want you to notice not only the mission, but the method. There's a method by which this is accomplished. I want to say this morning that the method is the local church. The method to teach all nations, baptize them, and to disciple them is through the local church. Now, the local church has at least a threefold ministry to accomplish this. Now, listen to this. Number one, part of the ministry, one out of three reasons for the local church as being the method by which we accomplish the mission has to do with worship. We're here this morning to worship. And worship is our expression of love to our Creator, Savior. We're here this morning because we want to express and honor and adore him. And we sing music that has a message with it. And we share the gospel here. And we express love for one another. And all of that comes from the call to worship. And one of the reasons for the local church has to do with worship. We, by music and by message, the message, and also by just words of comfort to one another and prayer and reading our Bibles and teaching Sunday school, all these are areas of worship. But not only the local church, one out of three, fold part of the ministry has to do with worship, but it also has to do with edification. We're not only here to worship the Lord, but we're here to be edified. We're here to be encouraged. It's by the nurturing and building up of believers to maturity in Christ. That's through preaching. That's through teaching. That's through prayer. And that's through Bible study. It's through other studies. It's through Sunday school. Part of the local church is to edify. You come this morning to find out what God has for you in your life and what direction he might have you to be on. And you've come to be edified. You've come to be directed. And sometimes we come and we get our toes stepped on a little. But it's all because of God's word in directing our lives. You see, part of the local church's ministry is to edify. Hospitality you should find here. Being gracious and merciful, you should find gracious and merciful people here at God's house. It's to edify. It's to worship. But then the third part of the threefold ministry of the local church is evangelism. And that is reaching out to a lost and dying world with the good news of Jesus. And if these three things are accomplished in the local church, we are fulfilling our ministry. Now, let me say this about evangelism. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 1. In verse number 8 for a moment. Acts 1, verse number 8. We see that evangelism starts at home first and then fans out abroad across the entire world. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," that's home, "in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." This is taking care of home missions and foreign missions, right here in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And so we know that we are a very mission-minded church, and we love missions, we love missionaries. This has been going on here way before I got here. But me and my family have always been mission-minded. Since I got saved, and then we came together as a family at Floyd Road and all. We've always been mission-minded people. But that is part of the Great Commission. It's at home first, right here, this local body. And so we're to be reaching Powder Springs. And it starts with me, and it goes all the way to the very last person in the church. And then, when we do that, we're to go even further on the outskirts. And then when we do that, we're to go even further on foreign fields. Well, everybody's not called to be a missionary, but Brother Don and Carla are. And we can keep on supporting them, and we can keep on loving them. But you see, there's still a balance here, because a local church can be fully supporting foreign missions, but what about home missions? What about Powder Springs? Whatever happened, and listen, I want to say this because this is what I've been accustomed to. And I'm in the right mind of starting it back up again here. What about foreign missions? We're covered. What about home missions? What about door knocking? And listen, I know the ratio. You knock on 1,000 doors, you may get one person to come. But listen, it's not up to us for the outcome. It's up to us to plant the seed. And God gives the increase. And so I think sometimes, even in the local church, we'll do foreign missions. And we love missionaries, but and then in the back of our minds we're saying, well, I'm fulfilling the Great Commission. That's not true. That's not totally true. Because foreign missions is just one half of the Great Commission. Then there's home missions. Listen, I said it starts with me. One day this week, you may see me walking down the road, and it's not because I had a flat tire. You may see me walking through Powder Springs, and yes, it's for exercise, but also it's for knocking on doors. But if you see me walking up and down some of these neighborhoods with some tracks in my hand, it's because I'm wanting God's best for this church. And God will not fully bless this church unless the other part of that Great Commission is being exercised. There's home missions. There's foreign missions. Listen, why are we here? And that puts us in a whole new thought process of why we're doing what we're doing. Well, we've come to worship. That's only one third of the purpose of the local church. We've come to be edified. That's two thirds. But what about the third third? What about the whole sum of? What about that third thing, evangelism? I personally had asked God to forgive me. How long has it been since you have told somebody about Jesus where you live? How long has it been since you've walked in Walmart and you've seen that person that you know that needs to hear the gospel or be invited to church, hear the gospel, and then invite them to church? But it goes something like this. Shopping, getting ready for Thanksgiving. Hope. Hey, I know I've done it before. I'm human. But you know what? When God puts his finger on something and you are in a leadership role and it starts with me and it goes all the way down to you, that's conviction. That's conviction because we are not fully, absolutely fully reaching our fullest potential and God's blessing upon our church if we're not exercising home missions as well as foreign missions. Love foreign missions. Love all of our missionaries. In fact, I'm hoping to get down there to Peru this summer. Me and Brother Randy maybe. But that's foreign missions. And so he says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, to have God's blessing fully on this church, to have more people in the pews. You say, well, I've knocked on doors. Listen, I've knocked on doors too. And the ratio isn't that great. But here's the thing. It's supernatural. God knows how to give the increase. Listen, there's been people, even in our first church, Zion View, we went and we did door knocking. And none of the people came, for the most part, that we knocked on the doors. I'm thinking about a specific Saturday at least. But then, nearby that same Saturday, we had two families join the church that we didn't even knock on their doors. You see, that's God blessing the efforts. That's God giving the increase. And I think so many times we have went to church enough, we know the routine, we come in, we sing a few songs, we bring a message, give an altar call, we go home, we come back for a Sunday evening service, we start our work week, and that's it. But I am putting a call out on our church starting this morning, starting with me all the way out through the congregation in 2020, at the end of 2019 into 2020, let's reach our community. Listen, I'm talking about knocking on doors. And inviting people to church. And whenever you go out to eat, say, hey, I'm from Calvary Baptist Church. Do you have a home church? Can I tell you about Jesus? He's soon coming, folks. We have got to take away the shyness and whatever we may feel that we're sacrificing, which ain't much at all, to tell somebody about Jesus. Going door knocking. I experienced a lot of things, and I can think of one occasion where me and we were actually going over here to Revival Baptist at one part of our life, which is now Welcome Hill. And Art Brady was our pastor at the time. And Joshua, their son, me and him, we went door knocking and surrounded neighborhoods here, and we went and knocked on one door. I looked at that glass door, and the main door was open, but the screen glass door was closed. And I said, "What is that?" Something was galloping my way. I said, "Oh my goodness!" It was the hugest Doberman Pinscher I've seen in my life. That thing was probably big as a horse, and it was coming right at me. And the thing jumped up and pushed the door wide open. I said, "Well, he's got him a couple of snacks." But you know what happened? Listen, here's what happened. In all seriousness, that dog ran right between us, jumped the fence, and went down the road. Let him eat somebody else. What does he say here? What did he say in the Great Commission back in Matthew? He said that I will be with you always. He said, I will be with you always, he says in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here in Acts 1, verse 8, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's with us. I believe that morning he was definitely with me, and he protected me. And listen, I know it's... And we got to be careful in the day and time we live and all of the liabilities. And that's why you go in groups. And it's more than just door knocking. It can be mailing invitations. But we got to have the gospel on it. It's whenever you go anywhere, have some tracts on you. I'm talking about me first. When you go in grocery shopping, give a tract to somebody. Tell them about Jesus. We have to reach home first as we support foreign missions in order for God's blessing to be upon our church. He gives the increase, the Bible says. I want you to notice not only why do we do what we do. Well, we do what we do because of the mission. And then we mentioned the method. And the method is the local church. A threefold ministry of the local church. Worshiping the Lord. Edifying the believers. And evangelizing the world. Let me mention something else. What about the mark that characterizes we're in the mission, or the mark that characterizes we're succeeding in the mission? Turn to John 15. John 15. And so we looked at the mission, we looked at the method, but what about the mark that characterizes we're succeeding in the mission? Keep in mind, we're talking about why we're doing what we do. The mark that characterizes that we're succeeding in the mission is found in John 15, verse 16. And that is one word, fruit. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The mark is fruit. And I believe several things about this verse. Number one, I want you to notice, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That just simply means he has appointed us. He has commissioned us individually. He has appointed us, commissioned us as a church corporately. That is, to bring forth fruit. That you should go and bring forth fruit. He's ordained us. But then he says, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit. And what does that mean? Well, it's through the idea of going and doing something. It's through the idea of not only you have accepted Jesus, you have publicly demonstrated your faith in him through believer's baptism, but now you are doing something with your salvation. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you or appointed you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Go and do something. Bring some fruit that symbolize, that show true repentance in your life, is what he's saying. Go and bring forth fruit. The idea is going away and doing something, putting our faith into action. In Peter's writings, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he says that we are to add, I believe it's 1 Peter, he says we are to add to our faith virtue. He says be rich in good works. Talking about fruit here, fruit inwardly. We are to go and bring forth fruit. We are to do something in our Christian life. We are to add to our faith virtue. We are to, through being united to the vine, that is, we are to yield to him and allow him to produce these fruits in and through us. So we are to add to our faith virtue, inward fruits, but then outward fruits. We are to win souls to Christ. We are to be fruitful. We are to be faithful and successful in bringing forth souls to the Lord. Both fruit within us and outside of us are fruits of righteousness. And so the question is this morning, why are we doing what we're doing? Well, we're doing what we're doing because of the mission. That is to preach. That is to baptize. That is to disciple. The method is through the local church, but then the mark that we're succeeding at this is fruit. Are we this morning getting spiritually stronger inwardly? Are we this morning growing numerically? I believe we are. I believe both is being accomplished. But you see, there's still one aspect that has to be totally fulfilled, and that is reaching our Jerusalem. Let me mention something else in this verse, John 15, 16. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Fruit should remain. He's speaking of a devoted life. He's speaking of an individual who is devoted for life. It means to make a permanent impact on others. It means to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine for us and for others. It means to win souls, but then disciple them so that they will stay. I think that that's one ministry in the local church, Baptist speaking, that we have dropped the ball, and that is discipling those who have been saved. You see, that fruit don't remain. They get saved, and I was thinking about this the other day, that, you know, man, it just seems like that, you know, someone gets saved, and then, or they confess they've been saved in a church service, and then they're gone, and they never come back. Or someone joins the church, and then they haven't been back after they've joined the church. The Bible tells us that our fruit should remain, and so if it's within our reach to help those folks remain, that's our job to do so. Reach out to that one who hasn't been to church in a while. Reach out to that one who's struggling in life and their church attendance has dropped. Reach out to them that their fruit should remain for them to remain. But also there's fruits within our own lives that need to remain. Remain on that straight and narrow. Remain living a life of cleanliness. Remain living a life of holiness. A deep, devoted desire that to continue to live for the Lord and know His will. It means to toil or to toil without intermission is where he says that your fruit should remain. Continue on. We are to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We are to maintain a pure heart for God so that he can use us. As Brother Randy just sang a moment ago, he's the potter, we're the clay. Thank God he didn't throw us away. That's the song in essence. We are to discipleize, or we're to disciple those and encourage those so that they would remain. Let me mention this last part as they come with a song. I want you to notice the very last thing that he says. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see this verse here, this is encouragement for the mission. The Lord is speaking a word of encouragement to those who are going. He's speaking a word and he's telling them that while you're going and while you're serving, if there should be any needs that should arise that would help the gospel and its furtherance, I'll give it to you. I think a lot of times we take that verse, we take other verses that ask and you shall receive. Well, I asked God and he didn't give it. I'm asking a question. Are we sharing the gospel? Are we going for him? You see, because there is a balance, there is a priority. List of priorities here in this verse. You see, the prayer or the prayer request and the answer doesn't come first. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That, if you do that, if you do what you know you're supposed to do, he says, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This is encouragement for the mission. Many times there's difficulties in the mission. There's toils in the mission. There's heartache in the mission. But if you are in the mission and you are fulfilling the best you can, the Great Commission and living for Jesus, and really when you break it down, if he's number one in your life, if there's needs that you have, things that come up, he says, as long as these things are in perspective, he has no problem granting that request. Someone said, well, I prayed for a new car and I didn't get it. Well, you see, when you yoke up with Jesus and you say, Lord, I'm here at your disposal, and you start serving him, you ain't going to want no fancy new car. God doesn't have problems with, he meets our needs and sometimes he gives us our wants. But when things are in perspective, he will give us the desire, the petitions that he desires of us. He will give us the desire to pray for certain things. So he says that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And here's my closing thought this morning. What kind of things that we need here at Calvary? What would you like to see be done? You know, right here at home. And then I ask this question. What are we doing to hold that back? I do know that the number one answer is that we need to be sharing the gospel right here at home. We support foreign missions, but let us not meet Jesus one day with many, many people's bloods upon our hands for not sharing the gospel right here in Powder Springs. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And God, sometimes these are difficult sermons, but Lord, it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter the emotions. There's something bigger going on here and in our lives and here at Calvary and across the world, and that is fulfilling your mission. Why are we doing what we're doing here? Help us, Lord, to get in perspective and to operate out of our mission statement, and that is to reach, and that is to baptize and then disciple. That's our vision, that's our mission, to do that. We know if we're doing that, Lord, there is nothing that you won't do when we ask it right here at the church and in other places. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. If you need to surrender to service, you do as well.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Anybody else this morning? It's the Lord's time. Continuing to sing if you need to come. Softly for a second. I heard a preacher say one time that, you know, a lot of people think that local church is like that old movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. You build it and they will come. Well, this is the Field of Dreams this morning. The church is built and we need to go get them. There is nothing, listen, there is nothing attractive about the cross for a lost and dying world to come to church unless they see their self in need of a Savior, the Savior that was on that cross. We must go get them. All right. Thank you, church. Appreciate your attention this morning. Hope everyone has a blessed afternoon. Remember, 5:30 choir practice, and we're looking forward to the service tonight. Anything to mention before we close? All right. If not, Brother Ceylon, would you close us out in a word of prayer?